Mr. Moses.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Chairperson and the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Ministers. Without also wasting time, the DM has provided the high-level background on the presentation for the appointment of the Economic Regulator Commission. And this will be presented, Chairperson, by our Chief Director for Social and Economic Regulation, Economic and Social Regulation, Ms. Zani Moshidi. And we are also mindful of the time that the Chairperson has alluded to earlier on. So we'll try our best to present on key aspects of this slide. Over to you, Ms. Moshidi.
Thank you very much, Good morning, leadership. I will try to quickly go through this presentation. A bit of the background, we started with this work day in 2024, and then which looked into the institutional models that the economic regulator should take. And the exercise resulted in three different options, which was internal component, the government component, and an independent regulator. Back then, the minister at the time said that we can't go with an independent regulator just yet. We needed to establish an internal component so that we can strengthen the functions of the regulator before we consider migrating out. So the Economic and Social Regulation Chief Directorate was established in 2014. And as we continued with our work, we also drafted a business case towards the independent economic regulator because the concept was still in place. The minister
your sound is not that clear.
Is it just
you? Your sound is not that clear. I don't know what could be the problem.
My volume is up. I'm unmuted. I'm not sure if I'm clear now.
It's much better. Even if, with your permission, Chair, they can close that. They can close the camera because you have seen them.
Thank you very much. I hope I will sound clear. I will raise my voice as well. Okay. So when we went for the scope of regulation, not just limit ourselves to economic regulation, and that project was scanned around 2018.
We are disappearing. Don't move around.
You are fading.
Oh, and I'm sitting still in the same position. I'm sorry. In 2020, the project was brought back online. And at the time, we spoke about setting up a temporary regulator. Then we spoke of the quasi-regulator, which in turn was called the commission. This commission is appointed in terms of Section 99 of the National Water Act and 76 of the Water Services Act, which says that the minister can appoint an advisory body and can name it and give it its functions. Next slide, please. Now, when we did this, when we appointed or when we prepared the documentation for the regulator commission, we did it in parallel and also taking the elements of the actual business case that was going towards the independent regulator. We did get some assistance from Operation Vulindlela in beefing up the documents that were submitted to the minister. And on the 14th of June, minister approved the submission of the regulator commission. And while in parallel, we have a process of ensuring that we internalize the commission by making sure that we have enough legislative provision to give it the necessary powers. So we have two processes that are working together to take us towards the end result. Next slide, please. Now, in general, the purpose of economic regulation is to ensure that we balance the interest of the customers together with the sustainability of the institutions. This is generally done by ensuring that the tariffs throughout the value chain are fair and affordable, but also allow for sustainability of that service provision together with the expansion of the service. So one of the key requirements of effective implementation of regulation is to ensure that we embed the necessary legislative provisions as best as we can. So with the current legislative review, it has currently, you know, gone a step ahead of this exercise, and we are still working on whether we are going to request a separate legislation or we are going to amend the two again. It's still under economics, and that will come in due course. Next slide, please. Now, again, in general, the purpose of economic regulation is to ensure that the three sources of funding that we have address the under-costing of the water service provision, which is also affected by the under-recovery of what is currently costed. There is clear under-investment in our operations and maintenance or refurbishments and things like that, that we need to make sure that they come up to standard. Because at the end of the day, we need to ensure that our end users get good quality service at the right quantity and at the frequency that is reliable, and we don't have that intermittent supply. So for us to turn around this perceived poor service delivery, we need to ensure that the funding on this service provision meets the expectations and it meets the investment requirements that it deserves. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Thank you. Now, this is the water tariff value chain, where we are also explaining that we are currently reviewing the two policy documents that are informing the tariffs. It's actually the regulations, not policy documents, of which one is the revised pricing strategy that will inform the water resource management charge number one, and the water infrastructure charge, which is charge number two, as well as the waste discharge charge, which is charge number seven on this diagram. In the current 2007 strategy, the waste discharge charge is not online, but as we are working on revising, we are now busy with public consultation. We are trying to bring that cost structure online so that we can be able to deal with pollution matters effectively. And with the other charges are sitting with the norms and standards for tariff setting, and currently the draft norms and standards are sitting with the Minister of Finance seeking concurrence, and as soon as those are finalized, we will go to the committee.
Now, going back to the
hold. Apologies, DM. Am I here now?
Yeah, better. Keep that line.
Thank you. Now, back to the regulator commission, we have appointed them to give a strategic regulatory expertise, because we panel of experts to assist us, and we are hoping that they will also assist with best practices. They will advise and guide on the activities that we as the technical officials are putting forward to our leadership and ensuring that the service delivery up to standard. The initial focus will continue being on economic and social regulation as we are bringing the other components of regulation online into the commission since we are more ready than our counterparts. Next slide, please. Now, the we say they will advise the minister simply because the National Water Act and the Water Services Act does not have the provisions of how to appoint the commission or clear functions. So we are still working on building those. We used the advisory provision. Therefore, the approval of the tariffs will still go through the minister with the backing of this commission. They will help us craft a better and functional governance structure than what we had put in the terms of reference. They will assist with the implementation of regulatory models in the local government, because right now the tariffs in local government are set and approved by the council, and we need to have an input into that particular process. They will assist in guiding and drafting some institutional evaluation performance criteria for all the water service providers in the sector. We have drafted something currently. It's with them for review and making sure that it will meet the necessary targets to ensure that when we align the performance to the tariffing that would have been approved, then we get a better picture of where we are going moving forward. Next slide, please. They would also be giving some key strategic direction to assist us in making sure that we make the necessary provisions for the relevant opportunity of this particular commission. DM spoke about the Eastern and Southern Water and Sanitation Regulation Association, which is a and we are learning a lot in terms of where we are falling short and what we need to improve, what are the quick wins and so forth. So we are building momentum on that. We are looking towards getting to strengthen the debt reduction initiatives. We are not taking over the jobs of the service providers, but to see at what is it that they are doing right or what they are doing wrong and how can we improve on those. And most importantly, we need to build a relationship with our end users, because we do have an understanding that the users are the eyes and ears of the regulator, and they can assist in holding the service providers accountable. So we are going to implement a program there that will bring the users online for them to understand what their roles and responsibilities are when it comes to the water that they are receiving. And one last key thing that is important is the corporate regulation, which is already coming in. Next slide, please. Now, this is the governance structure that I said must be improved. It's right now, it's a proposal where the commission will be advising the minister directly on all regulatory matters. DDG is part of this particular commission because he is the link with the technical work towards the advisory part, and economic and social regulation chief directorate. We are seeing ourselves as the foot soldiers as much as possible. Next slide, please. Thank you very much. Right now, the commission is said to be having 11 panel members. We initially appointed 8 when Minister signed on the 8th of June. He signed off on the 8 panel members. But when we engaged with Minister a bit later on, he advised that we don't have a proper footprint coverage across the country. So we needed to add additional 3 members that are going to represent other provinces so that we have a clearer and much fairer representation. So there is a submission en route back to the minister regarding this additional 3 commission members. So that they can add to the 8 and we get to the 11 that we are talking about. The team is much disciplined. The skill set is shown below. We have people who are multi-qualified, all the skill sets that are affecting economic regulation. And we have also made sure that we have a fair balance in terms of race, gender. Now with the additional 3, we have improved on the geographical representation. Next slide, please. Now, as I did mention, the commission signed off on the 14th of June and the DG signed their appointment letters on the 30th of June, and we took July to finalize the contract with legal services assisting us with vetting, and the commission started their work on the introductory meeting, and we gave them what the scope of the work was. And on the 19th of August, they have revised the terms of reference from where we proposed it to what was functional and simplified to clearly separate what the commission is doing and what the chief directorate is doing as we are working together so that we don't step over each other. And they've also had another meeting on the 5th of September. This was after we have submitted this presentation, where they had to look at the raw water tariffs that will soon be submitted for approval. So they will be also writing their recommendations on that side. Now, we were requested to also put forward what is their implementation plan, since they are appointed for 3 years, but this is a short-term implementation plan on what they are doing to date, and the full plan will come later. So for now, they will be playing an integral role in ensuring that the business case for the water regulator is strong enough and the legislative requirements are provided in a way that sustains the regulator commission moving forward. They, as I've mentioned, they have had the first fee of the raw water tariffs as proposed. Those will be coming on soon. I'm hoping to release them for approval process no later than the 15th of September. With the norms and standards, as they are towards the finalization, the commission will be driving those engagements with our DMs and
recording in progress.
As I mentioned earlier, we need a footprint in the municipal tariffing process, and they will start getting involved in the tariffs that are supposed to be approved by May 2023 for implementation in July. And then lastly, they are also currently busy with these performance indicators that are needed for us to assess the performance of the institutions, and the data collection of that is going to start around June 2023. That is the end of the presentation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The presentation, the first presentation on the appointment of the Water Economy Regulatory Commission. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. I think we'll allow, but I will be guided by members. I wanted us to move to the next presentation and deal with the last one so that members can be able to ask questions in relation to the presentation. But members will guide me. Members, how should we deal with this matter? Should we take the three presentations?
Yes, Chair, go ahead. Take all presentations and then we engage on them.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, I take it that Honorable Zeki is supporting that. Let's move. DM, let's move to the next presentation. Nosipho, was it the VAL intervention?
Yes.
Okay, the VAL intervention. Can we deal with the presentation and then it will be followed by the RTBS? The presentation dealing with RTBS. Thanks very much. We have received a revised presentation, members. Hopefully you have seen it.
Yes, good morning, Chair. My name is Sipho Mosadi. I'm the Chief Executive of Rainwater. With me is the Chief Operations Officer, Mr. Mashabola Mbata, who is also a project coordinator for the interventions of various schemes. He will take us through the presentation with your permission. Good morning, thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Musai. CEO, you can take over. Dr. Shomule.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to the leadership, all members concerned. Chair, in the interest of time, I've tried to hide a few slides just so that we go through the presentation a bit quicker. But the full and revised presentation has been shared with the members, so I'll go through this one, Chair. The VAL intervention, Chair, really speaks to the pollution, the intervention that speaks to rehabilitate the VAL through the 1763 intervention by the Department of Water and Sanitation. We have since appointed Rainwater as the IA to intervene in the space. Just again, the slide just reminding members, Chair, that we're talking in the name of the pollution of the integrated VAL river system, which really emanates from a number of provinces. However, the biggest polluter in this instance is the Sibeng region, the Enfuleni local municipality specific. And for that reason, Chair, that is why we are focusing our efforts and energy on that particular area. Again, just a quick background on the scope. We are talking the directive itself speak to both the water and wastewater, but the attention for now has been given to the wastewater for obvious reasons. And when we zoom into the wastewater scope, we're talking in the main four catchments, which are supported by four wastewater treatment works, as indicated by those square blocks, Sebokeng, Richards Strait, Neokeo, Meyerton. And those wastewater treatment works are also fed by what we call outfall sewers, which are your bulk sewer mains. And those little round figures there are pump stations. There is 44 pump stations in total in this region. And most of them are in a state of disrepair. The longer plan is to try and reduce the number of pump stations But currently, we are focusing on repairing all these components with water wells, pump stations, the valve main, as well as the reticulation. This is our roadmap ahead, and obviously the attention and the focus was on the removal of sewer from people's yards and from the streets. And this is an ongoing activity. We've got contractors on the ground who have been appointed by the department. And in parallel, we're looking at repairing the wastewater networks as well as pump stations in order to allow the sewer assets removed from the people's homes and the streets to flow then to the wastewater treatment works. Another parallel exercise is the refurbishment of the wastewater treatment works. All four of them are receiving attention care. The pump stations, they are critical pump stations that we are targeting in order to just allow the flow of the sewage, and the rest of the pump stations will also be going to receive attention. There are collapsed pipelines which have been identified. There's a slide that I will indicate that talks specifically to the collapsed lines check. Lastly, the overall bigger plan is to upgrade this infrastructure in its entirety to allow for the growth in the space. This is a very high-level collapsed Gantt chart, which is our program. And over a number of years, we have also costed it. We looked at the durations, and these are obviously from educated guests because there is a lot of unknowns on the ground themselves. But we are covering all these catchments. We're looking at the entire scope to rehabilitate the system, and eventually we will be upgrading the system. Chair, these are the four catchments. The orange block there speaks to the Sebokeng catchment, which is supported by the Sebokeng Wastewater Treatment Works, by far the largest wastewater works in the area. And we also have Rich Sprague, Leogale, as well as the Meyerton catchments. The Leogale, the purple shaded area here, is currently our priority zone, simply because this is where the bulk of the pollution is coming from, and we are trying to arrest that pollution as we are in parallel working on the repairs and the refurbishment of the other systems. Just to break it down, because this is really a mammoth task, Chair, we've drawn up this work breakdown structure. We've broken down the entire intervention into five streams, stream 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Really, stream 1 looks at the heartbeat of the system in terms of the refurbishment, repairs, and upgrades. And stream 2, looking at the operations and maintenance through the capacitation of Mbialekwa, which is a water entity in Mbulen local municipality. We'll speak more about that a little bit later. Stream 3 is focusing on the non-revenue water, and this is the part really that focuses, Chair, on the water side of the intervention. We have stated, Chair, to call that non-revenue water in Mbulen local municipality is quite high. We would want to arrest that to below, you know, 50%. And in addition to that, under the sustainability stream, we are also looking at alternative revenue streams, sending the treated effluent, and there are plans afoot really that talks to that. Stream 4 is the advocacy, a very important stream. We are led in the stream, chaired by Gil Mahlobo and Simile through a stakeholder engagement forum. That is really doing a lot of work in educating the communities, in engaging the communities and the interested parties in the space. And we are trying our best to make sure that we manage also the expectations of the ground. Stream 5 is the monitoring and evaluation. That speaks to the both water and wastewater quality monitoring, as well as the monitoring of the usage of the energy. So all of these five streams, Chair, there is a bit of work happening in each and every one of them. In terms of the institutional arrangement, Chair has already explained, the department is the overall overseer of the program, with Rainwater appointed as an implementing agent, guided by the implementation protocol. Sikibe Region is a beneficiary and participant in the program, and the primary beneficiary and the local municipality is also indicated on the institutional arrangement. Chair, following from that sort of an arrangement, we now have a number of contractors that have been mobilized on the ground who are focusing on those critical areas as I've indicated. Leo Gale Catchment in particular, we've got the electrical and mechanical contractors who are focusing on the critical pump stations 2, 8, 9 and 10. I've got a few slides that show the progress on those pump stations. The civil framework contractors that are focusing on a particular outfall sewer that connects to pump station 2 and into the Leo Gale wastewater. Again, Leo Gale receiving a lot of attention into the pollution in the catchment. The other area is the replacement of pipes, the collapsed pipelines that I've spoken to. We'll speak shortly about the numbers and the progress we're making there. Another area of focus, Chair, is around the operations and maintenance, where in all the wastewater treatment works, and I'll show in the next slide, we've got process controllers that have been placed there. We're doing a lot of unblocking of the mains. A slide also with some unpleasant slides of all the stuff that have been taken out of these mains.
Recording in progress.
Similarly, designs have been completed and we want to be on the ground construction-wise by April next year. The plant is also operational for its rate. A bit of a headache as far as this one is concerned in that the plant is partially functional. We've categorized it as dysfunctional. Just to also indicate the level of attention that is currently receiving. There are a number of process units that are receiving attention, cable replacements and so forth. Again, the upgrade side of this plant, we've got designs that have been completed that are currently being reviewed, and we are planning to go on the ground by April. So as you can see here, all of these plants, we are starting construction in April next year, which means that the design reviews and the tender documentation phases are happening simultaneously. The Meyerton catchment is a lesser headache. However, there is attention also accorded to this catchment. In terms of the plant itself, the middle row there, the upgrade of that plant, about 80% of the work completed. Unfortunately, the contractor that was working on this plant had to be liquidated. And we now have to go out on tender and get a contractor to finalize the remaining 20%. And part of the components of that system is the rising main as well as the pump station. The pump station has been completed. There is O&M underway currently. The rising main constructed to about 97%. We will be getting the contractor to finalize that scope. Targeting to have this completed by March, early March next year. In terms of the pump stations, Chair, 8, 9 and 10, this is just to indicate that we've got contractors on the ground. They took site from the 15th of August. The contractor name there is Malbert at pump station 2. Malbert is also at pump station 9, started on the 15th of August. And then on pump station 8, we've got Delta Services there to start with the submersible pumps. started also on the 15th of August, and pump station 10, same contractor started on the 15th of August. The pump stations, and then now we go to the collapsed mains, share 165 of them that have been identified, about 44 classified as emergencies. We've done full assessments there and designs. The five civil contractors that have been appointed by the department are paying attention to these pipelines. And in parallel, we had a few of them that were done through emergencies by rainwater, about 8, and 10 pipelines that were done by inflating. We have two current contracts on the ground, also through emergencies, in Server Street as well as in Serenaheng. And the last bullet then speaks to the critical pipeline that connects the pump station to Leogale, where there is currently massive pollution that was taking right there. We had to put a temporary bypass on this line, and which is currently still in place and working well. And the contractor has been appointed to attend to this particular pipeline because of its critical nature. This is just to demonstrate some of the work that is happening on the ground. This is a very critical and sensitive work. The pipe jacking is Renaheng. We are in the middle of the road. We are 7 meters underground. There is some pipe jacking there that is happening. And we have to move very slow because of the nature of the work that is actually happening there. And this we are planning to actually have completed by 17th of August, October. When it comes to the capacitation of Medzi, we've classified the plans in terms of those catchments as indicated. We've got Leogale, Ridspring, and Sibukay. The capacities are indicated there and circled. And this is an important information that really then helps and guides us in as far as filling of these agents is concerned. The process controllers have been indicated there.
Recording in progress.
Improvement in this rate as well. Those dips there are just indicative of when, you know, there were cable deaths and all of that. But these are the things that we're working on. Ultimately, we really want to see all three of these wastewater treatment works receiving the maximum capacity of their design capacity to be able to treat the sewage. This is just to show that there is also a lot of work happening on the water side. We are tending to leaks. I did indicate here that the north water is north of 50%. We'd really like to bring that down through a water conservation and demand management strategy that we have put together. Leak repair is a big part of that strategy. Metering, billing, and all of those other related aspects are also part of that strategy. We also understood three chairs where we spoke about alternative revenue streams. Obviously, there's a lot of budget effluent that comes from these resource treatment works, which we would like to treat further and sell to the industries. Greenwood has expressed interest in doing so. In fact, we are already, we've already started the process. We have concluded the talks with Mplane. We would like to build a reclamation facility in Mplane as rainwater to be able to begin to reclaim some of this water and free up a lot of potable water that is required for the economic development and other growth needs in Mplane and the surrounding areas. Chair, yeah, really, we just wanted to, and this is my last slide, I just need to indicate that we have a very comprehensive risk register where we are monitoring quite a number of high-level risks. At the top of those risks, really, I can just mention just two, is undue you know, expectations of the communities and everybody who feels that there's a lot of contractor movement, you know, they need employment, they need businesses. In as much as we are managing that, it is obviously impossible to accommodate everybody and everyone at a go. However, the stakeholder forums are trying to manage, you know, these expectations. There are flare-ups here and there, and we try to deal with them. And those that we are unable to deal with, we do escalate to the GM and the forum that deals with those things. Cable theft, in particular, safety and security of our staff members on the ground, constant threatening, constant really hostility that we are faced with, some of the huge challenges that we are dealing with. We have built up the security. Security was an issue when we started, but since the security has been built up, we've seen a decline in these sort of cable theft incidents. However, we remain vigilant care and we are really extending our efforts. In terms of the safety of our people, there are constant engagements with the communities through their various structures. We are in talks in terms of making sure that at least we've got everybody who is there to assist. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Masomola. The last presentation will be done by, I don't know who will lead the department, the presentation, but it's on Harper Bears for Dam Remediation Program. Thank you very much, DM. Or acting DG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The presentation from Harper Bears for Dam will be done by Mr. Senta from the department, but working in RPDS. Thank you very much. CFO?
Yeah, thank you very much, DM. Our program manager, the center from our focus in Asia, indicated by the deputy minister, will take us through the presentation on the RPDS for the interpreted biological remediation program. Over to you,
And Peter must manage time, has too many slides.
Yes, thank you, PM. We'll do it. So over to you, Mr. Fender.
Thank you, Mr. Fender. Platform is yours. Mr. Fender, we can hear you. You're muted.
Am I now unmuted?
Yes, of course, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
So,
thank you very much for the opportunity and all protocol observed. I just want to introduce myself. I'm Peter Center from Northwest Limpopo Project Team A, and I'm part of the Northwest provincial office, and I present this on behalf of our provincial head, Mr. Chatsi Globakin. The contents of my presentation is I will give a broad, quick overview of the Hartbeespoort Dam more detail on the problem statement, some background on the department's integrated biological remediation program that was implemented over a 10-year period, and one of the positive spin-offs that come out from this program was some work creation, and there's also more to come if it would be reinstated, and then a closing statement in terms of expected climate changes and how this fit into a more global picture. Some of you might be aware that the Hartbeespoort Dam is coming up for Centenary Festival 2019-23, where the dam is 100 years old. There's a lot of expectation for, you know, placing the Hartbeespoort Dam on the map for a tourist destination, which is already, it is at the moment. But the absolute reality is that Hartbeespoort Dam is downstream from one of the country's greatest economic hubs, the Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, Mogale, and Tshwane as well. Now, these economies are feeding their stormwater and wastewater all towards Hartbeespoort Dam. In reality, actually, more than half of the water that exists in the Hartbeespoort Dam come from return flows, meaning that, you know, it's part of the purified wastewater as well as all the other challenges that relate to sanitation. With this increased urbanization, the dam suffers with a lot of increased runoff that brings with it erosion, sedimentation, and which is really one of the head breakers is the solid waste litter and debris entering the dam. So I will not go into a lot of detail about wastewater plants and stuff. We're all aware on the conditions, and Mr. Sifu Musai, the chief executive from Randwater, has actually elaborated very similar conditions that we found in the fall. In the Vaal River system also persist in the Hartbeespoort Dam catchment. It is just important to note that we sit with less water, less natural run of water than in the Vaal River system. We also do not have all of the clean water being imported from the Lesotho into the Hartbeespoort Dam system. This water that come in here is already used water, as many people would call it. They already pass through the kidneys of more than 2.5 million people. So the reality is that the Hartbeespoort Dam do not have that type of dilution. And we also have less wetland and natural filter systems increasingly also being impacted in the catchment. So what did the department do? We have developed a eutrophication strategy, and many of that aspects have been implemented. One of that was very stringent phosphate standards. But in the beginning of 2001, the department started with the development of a more integrated approach with support and input from local and provincial governments. And the end product of that was the integrated biological remediation program that have started in 2006 with the implementation of Randwater as implementing agent. The department continued with this program after 2016 when it was paused, and the department are still in a process to reinstate the Hartbeespoort Dam integrated biological remediation programs through different institutional models to include corporate and private support, which we believe is in line with what the ministers of social and corporate support in terms, you know, in the water sector. Very briefly, I can just touch on the the two legs of the problem that we're facing. First of all, it is the catchment, which I made some statements on litter debris, stormwater sedimentation, and I will give a little bit of more visuals and details on that one later. In combination of all the wastewater, the formal, 10 formal wastewater treatment works from municipalities produce in excess of 720 million litres of purified sewage every day. Through the Merits Army program, we have actually done very intense integrated continuous monitoring and surprisingly determined that there is much more nutrients entering the dam than being expected from previous monitoring. The previous estimate was about 180 tons of phosphate entering the dam, with better quantification of what is happening during storm events. Close to 50% of additional diffuse load of nutrients entering the dam during rain events. That brings us to more than two times the load of 450 that was previously being considered to be the case. Add to that also the impact of the natural filter systems, shrinking or disappearing wetlands and the river and riparian zones. Rivers become just like stormwater systems with very little natural filter systems associated, you know. All of these conditions that feed into the Hartbeespoort Dam, and similar distortion you would find in the Hartbeespoort Dam as well, with the disappearing shoreline and natural filter systems even in and around the dam. So the dam become a perfect nutrient trap. The dam only receives this massive load of nutrients on an annual load, annual basis, but it also deals with historic pollution, which is called the internal load, which you would find mainly on the bottom of the dam, which get remobilized through different events, storm events, cold water inversion, and of course the biological system as well. So what is the result? That there is more than enough nutrients to feed algal growth, hyacinths, and at this moment, after the winter period, Salvinia minima, the newcomer to the system, that have started growing intensely during the winter months after the hyacinths have been reduced by the biocontrol and the insects. You know, something must happen. The dam invert with cold inversion, the nutrients on the bottom get remobilized, and then Salvinia minima, you can see how they almost explode on the dam. And of course, when there is significant rain events, that energy and nutrients coming in get remobilized and boost the dam, and you would find this occasional flare-up of algal blooms, although much less than it was prior to the Metsal Army program. So the whole ecosystem responds and you get this distorted and desired fish species. And that is all the aspects that obviously need to be focused on. And the remediation program was developed to address it. Just one visual is next to Alexandra, the Upper Yuxkei, where significant amount of waste from that informal settlements along the banks of the Yuxkei River is being, you know, dumped into the river. The river almost serves as a carrier of waste, taking away solid waste material, not to talk about unpurified sewage and all of the other impacts. Obviously, this is what now feed to the dam. I do want to draw your attention to the banks collapsing, and you can even see a big tree that was growing on the banks that don't exist anymore. So this phenomena occurs for kilometers along the rivers feeding to the Hartbeespoort Dam. So if we quickly look at just some visuals of previous algal blooms, which was quite intense, and you know, this is what the dam was renowned for, you know, this extensive algal blooms that occurred on the dam. And there is a little bit of a time period how the dam looked like prior to the Netsalmi program. During the program also, of course, the hyacinths took over and there was control mechanisms being developed. The wind blow in the hyacinths get removed, and I just wanted to show you the efficiency at the time of the Netsalmi program, how quickly this material and in vast amounts has been removed. The big challenge of the Hartbeespoort Dam is that we are not only encroaching with urbanization. If you just see Tshwane, Pretoria, and very close to the Hartbeespoort Dam is all the Lady Alexandra that are creeping over the last mountain. Big areas of Atteridgeville, I said Alexandra is Atteridgeville, is unsewered, and so there is more and more untreated wastewater impacts that are reaching the Hartbeespoort Dam, which was not even the case as recent as 5 to 8 years ago. So apart from the various sanitation and wastewater treatment works, we're also sitting with this almost unserviced sanitation systems that are increasing in the catchment. The Netsalmi program was developed and implemented, and I just want to draw the attention, the involvement of Northwest Province has been prominent from the beginning, to such an extent that the program was published as an environmental series in 2005, and by the end of the program, when it was forced in 2016, the Phase 3 business plan that deals with full-scale implementation and extension to other dams was developed and ready for implementation. Now, what was a very broad overall objectives of the program was to deal with an integrated water resource management principles on a catchment basis. How do you measure that you would be successful if you would have dealing with it? You will see, you know, increased biodiversity, aquatic ecosystems improving. And as the aquatic ecosystem improves, the water quality also improves. That means that we had to target the algal blooms, the hyacinths, the fish population, and then to add the missing link, as you would find it, in this whole ecosystem. You know, it's not only the rivers and the riparian zone that disappear, the 2,000 hectares of dam surface with more than 50 kilometers of surrounding shoreline, is being severely impacted by the developments and activities around the dam, and I must say even previous chemical spraying of hyacinths over about 20 years by the department, the dam has become like a water desert. So it was very prominent that this program also developed something which it became renowned for internationally as the biggest artificial floating wetland program still being recorded in the world. At the time, I will just show some pictures of that later on. Then, what does that mean? Also, it was removal of algae litter and debris, the establishment, and then, of course, the more integrated catchment activities of to start addressing the sediment, internal and external, targets for phosphate, to reduce it at source, and very few people would realize that the real source of nutrients from a wastewater treatment works more than 80% is coming from urine and detergents. Now, we know that there's a lot of work being done, and very little phosphate detergents still exist on the market, but nothing has been done in terms of the urine. Like in Finland, where people have urine diversion toilets, this is a statement to consider. Then, of course, there are various aspects already been looked at, how to reuse treated wastewater more directly. And even with that, I think Grand Water has a project of looking at more directly reuse from northern works and become involved in untreated or industrial water supply to the mines. Resource protection, land management, compliance and enforcement, the whole concept of land management is absolutely essential, and it should be running parallel with the implementation of waste discharge systems. I just want to...
Honorable Shrey, can you move? Sorry, Mr. Fenter. Honorable Shrey, please mute. You are disturbing the meeting. Continue, Mr. Fenter.
Thank you very much. This is a very nice picture showing the type of mechanisms that was in place at the dam wall. On the left photo, just off center, you can actually also see there was a line of floating wetlands. There was a 120-meter concentrating boom as the wind blew in hyacinths and per se also litter and debris, and at times it has also searched for algal. It get concentrated at the one angular number 9 sluice. Before the wind turned back 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, that material were confined, and then the working platform where you can see laborers working, having safety harnesses and qualified in working and heights, they were very efficient in removing the hyacinths for one single reason, that they have the hyacinths right at the length of a fork. Unfortunately, if there is not this type of supporting mechanisms from the water, we do find that with the 5 teams at times that of working for water that are now employed on the dam, the efficiency of removal of hyacinths is just not comparable, because the wind just turned and the vast amount of hyacinths is 2-3 meters away and deeper into the dam, and it cannot be reached. So one of the success stories was that the Messianic program capitalized on the energy of the wind to concentrate it, and it was actually a very simple design system. There was different places on the dam where this has happened. This is just a visual also showing from a top view the mechanisms in place and where the sluice things were removed. Now, this is just a picture showing some of the floating wetlands. I've already mentioned that there was around about 1,000 of these floating wetland units being rolled out along the shoreline of the Hartbeespoort Dam. And in 2016, it represents close to 4 kilometers of filter systems that were found present on the dam. The fish program from the 3 undesired fish species, which was the carp, or also known as a Chinese carp, a bottom feeding fish, the catfish, which is also a bottom feeding fish, and that from that 2 species, during 10 years, there was more than 360 tons of them being removed, and there was a natural increase of the indigenous filter feeding species like tilapia mozambicus, which is also even algal eating fish. And after All of this aspect has been improved. The diversity of the other species have also increased on the dam. In terms of the internal load, the whole sediment classification was done. And this is just a picture showing the different positions of the sediments. And I do want to draw your attention to the dam wall zone, which was a very much organic type of, and what it was called a jelly layer, which was as identified as a priority sediments to be removed. And the inlet of the dam, the Crocodile River that feeds from all the urban areas, brings with it all the sediments. So you would find that in the inlet of the dam, it has all been sedimented up already. And as floods come in, it push into the main basin, and that is where the main pocket of sediments are actually lying. But it is a very consolidated sediment layer, which do not really communicate a lot to the rest of the water body. So the inlet and the dam wall has been identified as the main pockets, and this is just in 2010, where some excavation and pilot costing were done when the dam dropped to 84%. The level that you see here is about 20, 30 centimeters above the full level mark. So as water come in from rain events, the main settlement happened in the inlet of the dam. And the jelly layer at the dam wall, during the phase we started to remove this, there you see the pumping machine that was sweeping the area of 350 meters from the dam wall deeper into, and that was constantly removing the jelly layer. And this is just a picture of where the jelly layer was pumped into old fished dams that become unused just down from the dam wall. And very interesting, when this pumping of the jelly layer started in May 2013, there was the first cold front of the winter coming through, and on the first there was still a green algae mass at the dam wall. After the inversion of the cold front that night, we start pumping algae from the bottom of the dam. It just showed you the significant impact of inversion that very few people are even aware that are taking, when the whole water body are mixed up. So the conditions in the dam are certainly driven by in the business plan, there are three budget scenarios being identified. With ongoing operation and maintenance, of which the department almost have the money available. I think there is a 24 million rand budget available for the Metsi Army. As it was during the time of the program. And then there was two different scenarios according to the availability of funds, a fast tracking, and a full scale entails the inclusion of the full removal of the sediment in the inlet of the dam. Then a barrier has been created, and as nutrients and sediment come in, that it can be removed on a continuous basis, as intended by the sediment strategy. So in summary, the Metsi Army program has started implementing biomass removal, establishment of shoreline, food web recycling, and the interaction and management of the sediments. This is supposed to be an ongoing action, but it needs to be doubled up with better management of the catchment and land management practices, of which you can see a summary of that. Now, how do you implement such type of conditions? There's only one way to do it, and that is through the department's authorization process on land management. That is our entry point to what is happening on land. And then I think we are already past the point that we need to start looking at the phase three, which is really the treatment of the incoming system. And as I mentioned, part of the treatment, the first step would be the sediment management, and then possible treatment of the nutrients coming into the dam. There's seven main intervention points been identified by the plan, the integrated plan that was developed. Just give what the department has done during that time. And I do want to draw your attention to the last point, which was a significant contribution in terms of education and awareness. ICC, or as we call it, Information Communication and Knowledge Center at the dam wall was developed, where environmental management, water conservation, and the concepts of better water management was communicated with school children, and at the time of 2016, close to 5,000 school children have attended this center already. What was a spin-off? Visually, people have started seeing there's more birds, there's more different type of birds, and even this indigenous red knot coot has increased from its background value of about 350 to close to 5,000 in 2012. You've seen the toxic algal blooms have changed to more higher order plants, which is filamentous algae, plants that grow underneath the water as deep as 5, 6, 8 meters. The curved pond root and fennel grass has started increasing. And the end result is nutrients are used up and filtered out by the ecosystem. You sit with more birds, more fish, and clean water that comes forth. So the model has been tested and found successful with increased diversity. This is just a biomonitoring activity that was happened at the floating wetland. And the beauty of this is it can assist with the overall objectives of work creation. And this is just a line out on all the different items. If the program could be implemented on a full scale basis, we're really talking about more than 560 direct work creation jobs that can be. That exclude the positive spin-offs of local economy that can happen. So my closing statement is that there is a integrated approach needed. At the communication center, we have branding it was the Big Five to conserve water and save the environment. Five very simple sets of reuse of organic materials, land improvement, rainwater harvesting, and things like that, which is really possible for any person to do. And then that spin off to better diversity and increased biological resilience that you would find. This activity is 100% in line with national and international legislation and international treaties to manage all our land and water systems for better diversity. So an integrated approach to address desertification as we find it, urban, agriculture and mining, that all have significant impact, which we see as a symptom in the Hot Bespoor Dam, and it can only be addressed by an integrated approach. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Fenter. Mr. Fenter, apologies for the time overrun. This is the last presentation from our side. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, you're done.
Chair.
Chairperson. This is Grace. This is Grace.
Hold on there.
This is Grace.
This Grace is kicked out.
Yeah, I'm back.
I want to say one or two points before you conclude this presentation.
Okay, I was out DM. You can continue. I missed some of the slides. The last slide. Let's talk to it.
On the last presentation on this chain, looking at the strategy that we are presenting, firstly, I must thank Honorable Member Ankitio Leon. He has been very passionate, Chair, about the issues of RWS work for quite some time, and a number of times invited us there. One of the big issues that is missing that the ministry will take up, Chair, is to stop these people who are polluting RWS port. If you look at these municipalities of Gauteng, they bring more than 720 billion liters a day of partially treated water. These other things that our team talks about, cleaning RWS, we can try to do it, Chair, but we're burning money. As well spend money already, because if untreated sewage, more than 720 billion comes down every day, is one of the biggest issues that we need to do. We'll come back and be able to talk to that matter, because the pollution by municipalities in Gauteng, even apart from pollution of garbage, yes, but it's also causing strain on the municipalities of Northwest, because the municipalities of Northwest, their treatment cost and the quality of the water they provide to citizens is a problem. The last point, Chair, I want to indicate that this dam now that next year is old. Also that the structural integrity of the dam, there are certain areas that are starting to cave in there. We don't want another disaster. And where's that? This dam. This man finished by this dam package. On value, we must indicate that very good progress is happening on the ground now. And we are very pleased that the sewer doing, the number of these, the wastewater treatment wells that must become functional, is running to the treatment plants, and the plants must be sorted, they must start to treat that sewer so it can go down. We are still having problems to you as legislators. The understanding of this thing called the 30%. The 30% policy was not meant for locals. It was meant for promoting small, micro, medium, and enterprises. And sometimes these companies, when they come in already appointed, they are always having their preferred SMMEs that are them. And we are still experiencing the issues of stoppages. But with the leadership of MEC Mail and myself, we are helping the teams to clear these issues on the ground. And there's been a very good response even during the presidential matter of the first sauna in business that he held. We must admit, we have not done the question of the real river rehabilitation, the cleaning of the reef.
Sorry, from Mpumalanga, from Ermelo to Namibia, will have to be able to engage in a bigger river rehabilitation program, and the cost implication at this stage, they are not clearly defined. But it's not that we are ignoring it. The first prize, stop the sewer getting into people's homes and ensure that the sewer that is treated to acceptable standard in terms of wastewater, then it can flow or be discharged into the system. We are not out of the woods, but progress is being recorded. I thought, Chair, before the leadership of the portfolio committee comes in, indicate the progress that is the iteration of quality, but also the issues that we can do for reuse and reclamation, but also creating jobs. But also to thank a member person, he has always been a champion on that side in dealing with some of those issues. Thanks, Chen.
Thank you very much, Chair Jim Mashobo, and let me also thank you the three presenters, your rental, your Mr. Center too, and the departmental officials who have presented. And let me thank you for your presentation. I'm now going to take, it's quarter past 11, I'm now going to take hands from members. Yes, I see the hand of Honorable Leon Gasson, in that order, ne? Rebecca, Honorable Rebecca Mshala will be number two. Number three will be Honorable Lady Peterson. Number four will be Honorable Khanif. In that order. Before that, Honorable Leon, you know, DM, you always advocate, but I don't see you speaking to that. Have I missed it?
Thank you.
Yeah, Honorable Leon, you'll talk.
That we really are throwing money at something we cannot fix if we don't sort out the upstream. Now, I don't know whether it would not be possible upstream to build a purification plant to some sort that we could treat the water that comes in, because I'm afraid that the municipalities and the metros, they will just not play their part. And putting money into Arties now to clean the dam, you know, in some instance it will help, but it's at the end of the day, the stop-start of this project, you know, we are really just not focusing and not putting the money where the problem lies. So I really plead that, as the minister said, that they will take this to cabinet, but we really need to sort out the upstream issues. Yes, in Arties itself, the wastewater plant, which is a very small plant in Arties, is also contributing to this problem. So the Maribeng municipality is also a culprit. But we must all realize that the downstream of Hartbeespoort Dam is the food kitchen of Gauteng. More than 70% of everything you eat in Gauteng comes from below Hartbeespoort Dam. It's agricultural. The dam was built for agriculture. It also services now Maribeng with water, Hartbeespoort with water, and then it's also a tourist attraction, which is also very important for that area. But really, I really believe that stop-start on Hartbeespoort, we can just leave it, because it's like Mr. Venter said, it's a desert. We'll get it like the Doria Sea, the sea in Israel, that nothing lives there. We will get to there if we don't start to protect the interest of the dam. And then lastly, I would like to request the minister to make sure that we get the dam safety report on Hartbeespoort very soon. And yes, it is 100 years, one of these days, and I think there should be, the community would like to sit down with the department and you know, have this dam, the 100th year of this dam one of these days or next year. And really we need to work together, and maybe it is time, Minister, that the department and there are community organizations that would like to have a festival on the 100th year of Hartbeespoort Dam, so that we can the work that's been done 100 years ago, the insight which those people had to build this dam, that we can have that when the dam is 100 years old, and that the department play a vital role, including the municipality, in that. But second, the request is, Minister, dam safety, we need to get that, and we need to sort out the dam upstream. Otherwise, we can just leave it as it is. Thank you, Minister.
No, thanks so much, Chairperson. Firstly, I'm going to pose my question to Randwater on the Vaal River System intervention. The directive given to Randwater as per Section 63 of the Water Services Act to be an implementing agent for the Vaal River System intervention is a good one, but not without its challenges. What is the estimated cost of Randwater undertaking this directive? And has any funding, according to Section 63 budget, been transferred to Randwater? You know, we don't want a similar situation as the case with the Giani project, whereby Lebelle Northern pulled out of the project due to the department's failure to timelessly pay cost for work undertaken. If the Metsi Alekwa operating as a water and sanitation unit for the Imfolweni local municipality does not have funds to undertake any work on the project, why did the department expect this from the unit? Whereas invocation of Section 63 allows for full control of the department to complete the project. Chairperson, on slide 35, you highlighted challenges in respect of fulfilling Section 63 directive from the department. What are some of the resolutions to ensure full realization and completion of the project? The other questions I'm going to pose is on Hartbeespoort sport remediation program. How much has the state spent over the years to address the removal of hyacinths? I think this is a plant, yeah, from the dam. Another question on Hartbeespoort. The presence of toxins in the water has a major impact on water users who collect water directly from the source, unlike big commercial farmers who privately treat the water obtained from the dam. What systems are in place to ensure that communities who are dependent on this source of water are also protected, as the current water treatment plants does not have the capacity to provide potable water to the communities?
Thank you, Honorable Mohlala. Honorable Peterson.
Honorable Chair, I have two questions. Has the department workshopped the idea of establishing an economic regulator within key strategic in the entire water value chain to ensure full collaboration and participation? If this process was undertaken, please provide an overview of your findings. And my second question is, why is no one addressing alternative housing to informal settlements living along the Jukskaree River? And why is there no additional water treatment plant to provide potable water to indigenous communities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Khalif.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, we would like to congratulate the new members of the Commission, and we look forward to them implementing the constitutional requirement that people should have an access to water. We cannot move to a higher level in a constitution and call for a right to water while we're still battling to give people access to water. And I would like to request the commission members to engage with communities to get a better understanding. We understand that the commission's job is to set tariffs by sometime in 2023. What's the use of setting tariffs if people don't pay for the water? I was in Bushbuck Ridge. There are 10,000 water meters, and not a cent is collected from these water meters. The presentations, I must thank the three presenters for their presentations. And one thing that has come out is that when we open our taps, the chances are that we're drinking urine because urine is not treated. That is a sign of a failed state. We can't have a failed state, a failed department, and a failed portfolio committee when we have urine coming out of our taps because it is not treated. And we are now talking about a diversion. Lastly, a lot about the upstream. Alzheimer's position is that sewage pollution is worse, is going to be worse than climate change. And if we don't want to be a failed state, that is a matter that we have to address. The toxins that people speak about is poisoning communities. In Khayelitsha, 1 million people are being poisoned because of the blooms that give off toxins. And you know, toxins can be poisonous and it can be non-poisonous. The legislation is very important. You need to have a conceptual position. And you need to have a policy on water that will result in the legislation that will govern us. If there is no legislation to give effect to the Constitution, we have neglected the precepts of the Constitution. We have harmed communities. And we talk about Hartbeespoort Dam, 100 years of harm. I'm not going to celebrate Hartbeespoort Dam because it has caused so much harm to my constituency, for example, in Atteridgeville. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Khalif, thanks. Honorable Sly. Mom Sly.
Thank you, Chair. I may have missed some of the areas in the presentations because I was arriving from the airport. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you for your commitment and being disciplined, right?
Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you for the presenters that have made a very clear presentation. And firstly, thank the DM Mashobo on his opening on the issue of the regulator, because when I was reading the presentation, I had huge challenges in my mind. And at another time, I said, I'm confused. But he has made some clarities in terms of where we are about the regulator and where we're going. Thank you very much for that clarity. Two questions on Rand Water. I think Rand Water should understand that it is an external structure, it's an outsider. In all our development, we need sustainable approach. I am not getting a feel from Rand Water in terms of the role of municipality structures You see, sometimes we come to their constitutional and legislative roles. Municipalities has got environment, structures, health, community services, and which pollution is within those structures. It depends on how municipalities have structured its own. What is their role in this process? Because at another time, Rand Water is going to leave the space. And it's important that we get to know what are the structures of municipalities doing. I'm not getting that integrated way and commitment from municipality structures in terms of this pollution. The last one is on the Artebus. What is that name?
Artebus Port.
Yeah, Leon.
Just say Artebus.
Artebus, thank you very much, sir. The job creation. That's one area that we raise when we're dealing with the VAR. Because where there are alien plants and where there's a cleaning is needed. And the issue of advocacy should be practical within our communities. Our communities do not have jobs. There are areas that need to be structured well for communities to participate, and then you leave legacy when you leave the community so that to know how they should deal with the issues. The issue of removing alien trees, alien plants, and all those issues, it's an easy thing, very easy. So it needs someone to take communities on board and transfer some skills and empower them for them to do the job. Even if it could be 2 or 5 people, that's something. I am not getting that. Can I propose, sir, that process needs to be implemented? We've been backing during VAR about this process, that it needs to be done. Can this process be presented to us? How is it going to be done in the hearts, in hearts? Thank you, Chair.
So, Honorable Zeki, I think he's disconnected. Honorable Zeki is disconnected, yes. Both DMs. We used to have a program, I know of Working for Fire, Working for Water. Those are the programs that would involve our young people to, just to create jobs, especially for young people. I'm not quite sure whether Working for Water, Working for Fire, or something like that. I see them on my way passing Hammanskraal. They're still there.
We are correct, Chase. Working for Water, for that's our.
And even fire, ne? It's Working for Fire. Something like that.
Working on Fire.
Working on Fire, yeah, something like that. I normally see those young people, you know, in their overalls around Hammanskraal site, but I'm not quite sure whether you're working for water teams. Are they still there? I just want to align myself with the question that was raised by Hammanskraal, the last question. How do we revive those teams if they are not there now? And working in consultation with the Department of Environmental Affairs. And the second question that I want to pose is on the hard disk too. The remediation program has been ongoing for years and years. Are you not considering new technologies to also address the issue of this invasive plant species? To address the increase of this invasive plant species. The last question that I want to raise is, where's that question? Understandably, the Emfuleni local municipality has a low revenue base, but the responsibility of the municipality environmental transgression into the VAR has had no hard-hitting consequences nationally. with either the department or, in this case, the implementing agents taking over them, their functions. How sustainable is this approach in the long term, and how accountable is the Mfuleni local municipality in utilizing its municipal infrastructure grant, your other particular research for water and sanitation and infrastructure? Or the last point that I want to raise, on the tariffs, the tariffs, previously we had some challenges with regard to the role of Parliament. So I'm not quite sure whether the regulator will be able to, the role of Parliament, I'm not quite sure whether the regulator will be able to include Parliament as part of the stakeholders, or are we still waiting for the amendment of the legislation with in terms of outlining the role of Parliament in the entire process of the ordinance. The last point, I think I'm fine. TM Magazi and GM Masobo, can you respond on the questions that have been raised by members?
We have left the leader, Comrade Tricky.
You'll
end up marching for the cost of living if you don't
take it. She's also so bad now. Honorable Tricky, before I give over to hand over the process to the department, can you ask your questions or comments? Thank you.
I was kicked out of the system. Chair, on the regulatory commission, on the objectives there, I just want to add one objective, that this commission must also be tasked to educate people about water use and user pay principle. That's one objective. And the attributes of the people that should be part of that commission should also about, they should know about renewables and urban and town planning, because I thought they are important in that skill. The last one, Chair, in my parliamentary constituency office, there's a company that converts that algae or fine synth. That's the bigger names on that. This man converts that algae into charcoal. So I'm inviting you, Dr. Mahlob, that maybe you can send your team, but I'll formalize if it needs be, for your team to come and observe what this young man is doing by converting that algae into charcoal. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tricky. GM Magazi?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. In view of the fact that time is not on our side, I will request GM Mashawa to make an input and then give it to the departmental official.
Okay.
No, thank you very much, Mamakas. Thanks, Chair, and thanks to honorable members. Firstly, honorable members, in your matters arising, and it's one of the issues we brought to your attention in the beginning of this sixth term of Parliament, the issue of economic regulator. We are pleased that we've came to a conclusion now. Remember, it was one of those highly contested issues between ourselves, SALGA and municipalities, when there was a view that the department is a referee and a player. And we had agreed that studies have been conducted by ourselves, by National Treasury, And then later on, this matter was being brought as one of the matters that were to remove barriers around the question of doing business. That's why the presidency took a keen interest. Within the shortest period of time, when Minister Mkunu and ourselves, we assumed the responsibility as a standalone ministry, the matter has been concluded now, so that the issues of water use charges, especially the water use charges that are related to the bulk issues that we normally charge, there is an independent body now, as our team has provided. We do take into consideration that when we do the pricing strategy, which is part of the water use charges, we must be ensuring that we do consult. I do agree with Honorable Hendricks that the views of communities are going to be very important. We still want water to be affordable in our country. Water remains a human right, but the economic use of water will not be able to say the charges must remain the same. That's why there should be a differentiated approach. And our exercise in terms of analysis, in terms of research and feasibility, it has been done over time. The effect of the matter that we decided to actually use the current provisions in the legislation to create a commission in a form of an advisory committee, so that these matters can be properly processed. There is an independent thought, but also the ability of the minister as an executing authority to ultimately conclude the matters is one of the standard ways. There will be some legislative issues just to strengthen as we expand their responsibility. And we're very pleased that you are supporting this work. And we hope that as we go to the next tariff fight, which is they should be finalized by early next year, by the end of the financial year, we should be able to start to see these issues. In as much as we are addressing this issue of water use charges, the matters of the debt that is owed on water by municipalities and other users for the sustainability of our sector, so that we don't have a water shedding on the basis of what happened in Eskom, we'll still rely on you as the leadership of the people that the user pay principle must be respected. Those who cannot be in a position to pay, government should be able to continue with its own social security protection policies around the question of free basic water. We might have to relook at the question whether the numbers are still the same or not, but also instill the change of culture, because South Africans are consuming more water than it was expected. On the questions that you are advising us as a leadership around the issues of the pollution, we are actually looking at the issues of pollution very seriously. And I do agree that the department at a particular point would have to come back on regulation, because those who have studied in the National Water Act and the Water Services Act, sometimes the problem is enforcement or regulation that are required. But the spirit of the legislation is okay. But the issue, if you look at Yagersfontein as an example, one of the instruments for people who are non-complying with the requirements and the conditions of licenses, the administrative processes that have been built in of issuing notices, and after a notice has been issued, someone must produce a remedial action plan. They commit to a plan, and then from there they don't follow the plan, then you issue directives. The process is administratively fair, but it's taking a longer period, and the damage that is happening and it's too much. We'll have to find a way just to relook at our regulations, while in terms of administrative justice will still remain fair, so that there are no disasters like that happened in that particular area in the Free State, or there are no issues of ongoing pollution that can impact on the environment, on livelihoods, and the other issues in the quality of water. We do agree. The inputs that have been made around the question of RPS sport will find as a ministry very shortly an engagement with all the municipalities in Salka and Cox. These municipalities of Gauteng, they must stop the pollution. They do have the license to discharge. If they are discharging into the RPS in terms of the system, they must discharge the effluent that meets the standard. While we are going to support municipalities around their wastewater treatment works, but on the side of regulation, we'll use the carrot and the stick approach. We must arrest them because the obligation and the burden is ultimately being paid by the taxpayer, because government must be spending so much money to do remediation or the rehabilitation. Just on RPS port alone, over all these years, trying to clean that particular dam, which is a reactionary approach and creating jobs in the process, but making no impact. We have spent more than R1 billion. That R1 billion would have been used for other things that would have changed the course of history. And my fervent attitude is that we are just spending the money, because we must stop the pollution from where it comes from. While you stop that pollution like we're doing with the Mpuleni right now, then you can come in and clean the system. In cleaning the system, I agree with you, honorable members, we must create jobs. We must be able to create jobs. And in the program on working for water, unfortunately, Honorable Mam Nancy, it was taken away from the department. It was given to the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment. We are working together with them. In my interaction with the MEC for Environment in the Northwest, there is an agreement that they will be putting in so that we can upscale that program of cleaning up. But then there is an opportunity for small businesses and also the small enterprises that we must encourage. Honorable, I do take the point, we'll appreciate you to get those details, because we need also to get new technologies on what kind of economies you can produce. The issues of charcoal, the hydrogen energy that you can be able to produce using that particular biomass. But there are issues of safety. Honorable Person, you'll remember, issues of safety are a biggest problem. There is a lot of debris that are getting in them. We must be able to clean it, because there have been some incidents in that particular dam where people are actually trying to be going in through for recreational purposes, and they are hitting some of the particular big trees that are them, let alone the levels of high seas that are them. We will take the issues of occupational health and safety into account, including working with the police, because you will know that when there is wind or there is a movement of waves, that particular a group of high seas, they move to a particular direction. The report around the integrity assessment of the dams and other dams is going to be an important issue, especially after the incident that has happened in Yagersfontein. Our attitude is that there are too many dams or containment dams or what you can call them, ponds, or some of them you call them fine tailing storage facilities. We must be able to prioritize them, because if we don't do that, the disaster is going to happen. If we have too much rains and there's a lot of flooding and ingress into those systems, we must be able to assure South Africans that those walls will not be in a position to collapse. Around the issue that are happening at Mpuleni, the relationship with Mpuleni is improved. Remember, there is a time when the workers there were stopping the project, jobs will be taken. Our attitude is that rainwater, for the sustainability of the project, one of the important issues. Therefore, the training of people of Metri Aliqua is a power reach. Already some of the people have been trained. You go to the Sebokeng settlement where those people are already... doing some of the work that is there. And I've been very pleased that for the first time, the Sebokeng treatment was open issues of time through the disc, like issues of the hierarchies, that they are able to have a warehouse. They keep certain equipment so they can be able to do their job. Initially, they refused them, but after by the MPs and myself and the mayor. Yeah. Those tools of trade are being utilized. But then there are issues that we must deal with. And the issues of operation and maintenance must department to stay forever. Our intervention will be there just to fix the infrastructure for the next 3 to 4 hours because remember the municipality is still under section 1391B, hence our ability to use section 53. Those are some of the things I should be able to cover, but as I'm saying, this is too much damage has happened. Because of human activity, whether it is mining, whether it is agriculture, whether it is municipalities in terms of domestic, and we are going to be cleaning down, irrespective who is the polluter. And Honorable Hendricks, I can assure you, there is nothing wrong with our legislation. And that legislation is very sufficient. It can be applied, but we need to increase our capacity to do enforcement. But at the very same time, increase the capacity of self-regulation. Those who hold the department's water license, they must respect the license condition. That's why we reintroduce the blue drop and the green drop, not only as an incentive, but as an instrument in the hands of those water use license holders. To improve their efficiency, we give them effectiveness, but at the very same time, looking at the question of reclamation of water using brown economy, because South Africa is not going to run out of water, but we can be able to run out of water that is fit for use. And the question of the fitness for use is on the basis of the deterioration of quality of water over time. And we should be able to reverse the tide and use technologies and the solutions that are available both here at home through our Water Research Commission, your CSIR and the other universities working together to change. But ultimately, communities must never be left behind because the behavior of communities around the question of what, if it doesn't change, our situation is going to become worse and worse. We can learn from the example of Cape Town, where communities of Cape Town, their behavior changed. When they changed their behavior patterns, the interventions by government were then able to see the results happening through. The very same thing in Nelson Mandela Bay, those changes will see happening as long as communities, they too, they play their part. And government will do what we're supposed to do because we are a government that must respond. Thank you very much, Your Excellency. There are other administrative issues. If we have missed one or two, our administrators can come through quickly through the acting DG. And then lastly, Umamakas will be able to conclude our input, Comrade Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, DM. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me allow Mr. Leso to talk to the funding implications of the directive. There was a question from Honorable Mutala around the cost, what we have incurred. And Mr. Fender will also talk to the costing the cost that we've already incurred on the work that we have done on RPs as well. There was a question as well on the year-to-date cost that has been spent on the interventions. And then lastly, I will also request my colleague, Ms. Mushiri, to respond to the other questions around the workshops and the questions from the chairperson on the care expense. Over to you, and Senator.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, the question of spending that was posed by the Honorable Mustala. We can confirm that overall for the past financial year, there was a total provision budget-wise of 397 million, and of that, it was going to be transferred to rainwater in tranches. So we received the first tranche of 100 million, and all of that money has actually been spent and committed. We actually have received the second tranche share of the next 100 million from the total of 397. And that was based on the priority work. The work, as I indicated earlier, that the Leo Gale catchment is a catchment of priority. So that's where the 397 is coming from. We've got the second tranche, and half of it has already been committed through the contracts and the tenders that have been awarded, security vehicles, the tools of trade that the GM spoke to earlier on, the maintenance of the plants, the subbooking, the water treatment works in Mfuleni and South Walker. So there is a detailed breakdown, Chair, that shows the expenditure to date. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Fenter.
Thank you. Do I understand the question correctly that you want some cost breakdown of the specifics for the Mitra Army program during that 10 years?
Yes, the question was around how much we've already spent on our intervention.
Okay, so in the progress reports produced during and after the program, there's some very detailed cost breakdown. I can start by saying that over the 10-year period, 2006 up to 2016, the total expenditure for the program, which obviously was much more than only, you know, the dam basin activities that was presented. I can, for instance, just mention that in terms of the waste discharge, we have started with the development of the online registration system, which is today being nationally being rolled out. That system was started the development within the Mitra Army program to fast track the waste discharge and the polluter pay principle. Obviously, the cost of this program was intended to be recovered from the polluters. So there's many cost components entailed to it, but the total cost was 186 million over 10 years. So if you make a quick statistics of that, that was about 18.6 million per year. And it was monthly payments was between 1 to 1.8 million. And the workers that was employed full-time.
Yes.
I've covered. Can you still hear me? I look like I've got a signal problem.
We can hear you. The acting DG was saying you have covered the question. And just to confirm that you're saying 186 million over 10 years.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. And the people who have employed there permanently, so we're 115.
113, that is correct, yes.
Oh, okay.
But I can just say the cost related to the hyacinth removal in the entire program was in the order of 20 million rand.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much. And the last questions will be asked by Ms. Mushin. That was on the workshops around the economic regulator and the questions that were asked by the chairperson on the tariffs and the role of parliament. Thank you. Ms. Mushin.
Hello.
We can hear you, madam.
Apologies, am I going
to... Your sound, it's not that good.
I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know what to do to fix it.
Yeah, I think we are better now.
Thank you, ma'am. On the consultation with the stakeholders, because we suffered the start-stop situation, the few that we have consulted have advised that let's not focus only on economic regulation, but look at the broader water regulation. So we do have some of those notes. But at the same time, we are, say, anticipating that the commission, as it moves to institutionalization of this commission, finalizing the business case and the legislative review, we will obviously go through another sector consultation that will give us more from the users. I accept the recommendation that we need to make some community awareness and talk to issues of improving access. That is part of our considerations. It's just that on the objective, we have not coined it specifically like that, but we will unpack it and coin it as it was recommended. On the roles of Parliament, yes, we will include those with the legislative review. Simply just have stringent timelines with the approval of the tariffs with a year on year. The revision of the pricing strategy and the norms and standards allows us to do the multi-year tariffing. And then once that is approved and we get our legislation right, we should be having a fair window of consulting Parliament before tariffs are approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chairperson, we have answered, unless we miss any other question that won't be intentional, but we've covered all the questions. Dear Makawa did cover extensively most of the questions asked by the members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, TNTJ members. Are you fine? Do you have any follow-up question? Are you covered in terms of the questions that you have raised? I don't see any of the follow-up.
No, Chair, I just want to, I hear, Chairperson, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. One of the issues at Masobo, which is very important for us, why our communities are not getting involved in some of the technical issues, it's because We do not create a very tangible program for them to participate. The issue of advocacy is fine. But advocacy, until when? I made a proposal. I just want to get clear if the proposal is understood. That can we get a strategy that's going to be presented to us? How we involved our communities in terms of addressing these issues of pollution structurally as a job creation process. It's going to be very important that our people must not take them for granted.
this public participation are not doing any impact to them, because there is nothing that goes to them tangible. So I just want to get that proposal.
I will do it through chair, because we also come here and learn as a department.
Mamsky was still on the platform, please. Can you...
So what was the question, Sis Grace? Okay, thank you.
I gave the chair, has given her an opportunity to ask. We're still within the time that is being allocated to this portfolio. Then I'll give you time to respond to you, with respect. Mamsky?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for your protection. I've met our Nana we want to get, if it's well understood, I'm raising this emphatically because we've been raising it as well. We've been raising it. And we are not getting the answer that you'd like to see. When you establish people five or six to do some job, the entire community gets in and have a buy-in. Because they are recognizing them and they're giving dignity on them, on their program, on what affects them. That's why I want us to be clear that we must not generalize the issue of advocacy. It's been there. Thank you, Chair.
DM, you can now respond to...
My apology, Chair.
Recording in progress.
Why are you not addressing the alternative housing to informal settlements living along the Yekske River? Because I listened and Mr. The one who did the presentation
Mr. Fenter.
Mr. Fenter said that the informal settlements, the water gets polluted, the river gets polluted, the Yekske River. And nobody said anything about why is no one addressing the alternative housing for those people? Thank you, Chair.
Chair?
Yes, GM.
No, I, I would suggest that this one we should be able to allow to come back. The team will not be able to respond because it has everything to do with integrated the human segment. We know that the Department of Housing, MSC Mayile, and the
recording in progress.
On or river banks is one of the particular the former townships. But the traditional leaders, the Honorable Sister Grace, you know many traditional leaders, but still don't know many people. You have another issue around land use, around water system and rivers, management of flooding or so forth, because one day we'll wake up that we never did our part. But this one, we don't have the details, the Honorable Comrade Medic. We'll refer the matter to Gauteng, and even if it means there should be a written response, we can be able to try to work with the Secretariat of the APC so that human segment should address that one. Thank you.
Thank you, DM.
Thank you very much, DM. And I think I'll give the PM Magal to give some closing remarks.
Thank you very much, the person of today's meeting. The issues that I would want to talk to, which I think is very, very important, that as we go do outreach work, either in our constituencies or in our political parties, it becomes very important that we talk to issues with our communities. It becomes very important that we talk to issues of erosion, we talk to issues of sedimentation, issues of solid waste, but also of our water resources. Because if we don't do that, we definitely will be highly challenged in seeing the fact that one day we scarcity of water. But what also becomes very important, engaging our communities on revenue collection, on dealing that the water services authorities and municipalities are doing, because these are some of the important things which actually assist the municipalities, but also assist the Department of Water and Sanitation to can be able to deliver clean water to our communities. I think one of our honorable members spoke to issues of advocacy here. These are the things that I was talking to say. We really need advocacy programs which actually can be in communities. The labor union say to us that it is important. As we're dealing with the academy in the department, it becomes important that we should also factor in the processes of having part of the academy, particularly because as we're talking, working for water, working for fires, which actually has been some programs which were there in the past. Consideration that we work with the communities, but we also capacitate our communities. And I think what if for us we should be able to do as we do our operation and maintenance, it becomes very important that our communities should be able to benefit out of the work that we will be doing, because when we do maintenance, that is where we should be able to have our communities being capacitated. I don't want to say educated, but capacitated, so that in the end they can be able to benefit. I think, Chairperson, for us as a department, dear Marshall has already spoken that we would want to work with a non-governmental organization. But our Water Services Authority and SALGA are some of the partners that we should we are working very close to make sure that whatever we are doing, we're not doing it in isolation or in silo, but we also engage in particular SALGA and an NGO, so that we can be able to deal with the challenges. And having spoken to issues of advocacy, I think it also becomes important that we take it, it should not be something that is the departmental issue only. The question of encroachment into our rivers, but also in some areas, encroachment into our wells and our springs, that in the end, they no longer producing, or we see our wells and our springs becoming very good in programs that we used to have in our areas. And I would want to lastly say, with respect to artists, the pollution, as has been spoken to, that it comes upstream and affects a number of catchments as it goes downstream. For us, what we should be able to do is to deal particularly with the algae and the hyacinths that are there, but also it's not only this fauna and flora that gets affected. If we have observed, there are so many other unwanted things like your tires and everything that gets thrown into our rivers. And these are the things that, as we deal with the challenges, we should be able to take into consideration. And I think it's a person, as has been indicated, the probably heart abuse program, we can be able to use its centenary celebration by starting to engage with the communities in the area so that they can be able to deal with the challenges that are there, make sure that we use the centenary celebration to engage our communities to say we are here and going forward, what is our anticipation. But the program that Mfuleni and Redwater is engaging with, we're looking forward and learning from what Honorable Zeki has indicated. We are evolving as a department, and we're looking forward to becoming not just the Department of Water and Sanitation, but also innovate as we're doing our job and do research and development in a number of things that we're doing so that we grow the department. But at the center is that growing innovation, research and development. As we do that, it should be something that actually can be able to grow the economy of the Republic, but also to capacitate the people of the Republic, not only internally in the department, but also externally. As we do our work, we should take that into consideration. On that note, Chairperson, thank you very much. Every time we come to the Portfolio Committee, we become better persons because we learn a number of things, and we really need to show the appreciation as the department that we really grow in stature and in strength and in thinking and in decision making.
And I think we have came to the end of
Long live the acting chair, long live.
Long live, long live, long live, long live DM Masobo and Makazi. And yeah, I think we've done well. It's 20 past. Members are supposed to go to the buses to come to Parliament. Thank you very much for being good participants. And thank you, acting DG and your team. The CEO of Redwater and the team, CEO and COO. Thank you very much for being part of the meeting. Can I declare this meeting officially closed?
No, leave the chair. Thank you.
Recording stopped.
Thank you very much.